reading today is taken from Isaiah chapter 49, verses 8 to 21. This is what the Lord says: in the time of my favor, I will answer you, and in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. They will feed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat upon them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. I will turn all my mountains into roads, and my highways will be raised up. See, they will come from afar, some from the north, some from the west, some from the region of Aswan. Shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your sons hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All your sons gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them all as ornaments. You will put them on like a bride. Though you were ruined and made desolate, and your land laid waste, now you will be too small for your people, and those who devoured you will be far away. The children born during your bereavement will yet say in your hearing, this place is too small for us. Give us more space to live in. Then you will say in your heart, who bore me these? I was bereaved and barren. I was exiled and rejected. Who brought these up? I was left all alone. But these, where have they come from? Amen. Thanks be to God for this reading.
So our theme this morning is never forgotten. We are never forgotten by God. God always remembers us. He never forgets us. It's a theme that comes from the passage that we read this morning, Isaiah 49, verse 8 to 21. In the book of Isaiah, God is warning his people that their sin would bring disaster upon them at the hands of the Babylonians. So the first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah, they talk about God's government. God's government. So in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, Isaiah saw a throne. He saw God sitting on a throne showing that God has a government. He has his own way of governing, and he is sovereign. He is sitting on a throne. So it was a holy throne, a righteous throne, and a just throne. So it's the God's throne is characterized by holiness, by righteousness, and by justice. That's the throne that Isaiah saw, as recorded in chapter 6, verse 1. He saw a throne. where God was pronouncing judgment upon his people. So the first 39 chapters, they talk about God's judgment as he governs, as he sits on the throne. He pronounces judgment, which means he pronounced the world guilty. He said, "You are guilty." He pronounced guilt upon his people, his chosen people. He pronounced that you are guilty, we have sinned. But the last 27 chapters, they talk about God's grace and God's glory. Isaiah saw a lamp in chapter 53, verse 7. Isaiah saw a lamp which represents God's grace. So the second part of the book of Isaiah talks about God's grace, where God will be providing the lamb for sacrificing for our sins. So it's about God's comfort. The second part of Isaiah is about God's comfort. So God is like a judge who is sitting in court, and he pronounces, he declares that his people are guilty, and then comes down because of his grace to pay the fine, to pay, to save the sentence himself. So he pronounces judgment, and then because of his love, he comes down and saves the sentence. So that's what I saw from the book of Isaiah, that God is a righteous God who judges righteously, but also he is also a gracious God who comforts his people. He comes and saves the sentence. So in the judgment, Isaiah prophesied that Jerusalem would be sacked by an enemy because of their sin. The temple would be burned down, would be burned to the ground. So, and also the leaders of the society would be taken captive. So that was the bad news that the prophet Isaiah brought to Jerusalem, brought to Judah. And Judah couldn't believe that. The people couldn't believe that. They continued doing whatever they were doing. They continued sinning against God. They couldn't believe the message of Isaiah, that God could do that to his people. They believed that they were a special people. They were a blessed people, and God loved them. And it was true. They were special. God loved them, and they had experienced the love of God. They knew that God loved them, but they took that for granted and continued to sin against God. The children of Israel or Judah would grow up being told that God will never abandon his covenant with them. So they relaxed and they could do anything, whatever they wanted, because they thought God wouldn't punish them. But because God is a righteous parent, he punished them. He let them be exiled. So one day they were just defeated by an enemy. The Babylonians came and they defeated them. Their city walls were brought down. The temple was burned to the ground, and they were overrun by a vastly superior enemy force, with everything that they depended upon being destroyed, their leaders being taken. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. To them, this was not just a national tragedy. It was also a theological crisis. It was not just a defeat by a pagan nation, but by a pagan enemy. But it was also a theological crisis to them. They would ask questions like, why would this happen to us? We are God's chosen people. Why is this happening to us? We thought we were so special. We thought God loved us. Why is this happening to us? So they entered into what could be called a theological crisis. Besides just being defeated by the enemy, they were also in a theological crisis. So in our walk with God, there are times when some things happen to us which we cannot understand. Sometimes we get into a theological crisis where it would be difficult to make sense of what is happening to us, to make sense of what God will be doing to us, to make sense of why God would allow such things to happen to us. In this case, Judah had sinned against God, but still they entered into a theological crisis. Sometimes even as Christians, we enter in what we could refer to as a theological crisis when something happens which defies what you used to believe about your Christian life. Say what you used to believe about what should happen when, according to your relationship with God. There are certain times when you will be asking, why has this happened to me? I remember when I was still at the theological seminary in Zimbabwe, in my second year, my son worship was diagnosed with diabetes, which means he will be insulin dependent for the rest of his life. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't find why God would do that to me. So it put me in a theological crisis, where I thought, because I have enrolled at the seminary, I am going to be in full-time ministry, such things should not happen to me. I thought maybe no ailment should come near me, no sickness should come near me, but only to find my son being diagnosed with diabetes. It put me in a theological crisis. I used to believe Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus Christ said, these signs shall be seen among on those who believe. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will be healed. So I had been praying for other people who were sick, and they will be healed. And now my son was sick, and he could not be healed. I was in a theological crisis. So there are certain things that put us in a theological crisis, where God will be allowing us to reconfigure our theology, to rethink our theology and understand him in a different way. Now we are talking of Judah here. They thought because God had a covenant with them, they could do whatever they wanted. So they had to reconfigure their theology and understand that God is holy, God is righteous, God is just. So you have to play your part of the covenant. Otherwise, God will punish you. So when we are in a theological crisis, we will be asking such questions like, why is this happening to us? Why this ailment? Why all these problems? We may end up thinking that God has forgotten us. We may end up thinking that God has moved away from us. We have been rejected by God. Yet the message today is, we are never forgotten by God. So the passage that we read this morning comes at a time when God's people were in exile. They were still in Babylon. Now God comes and says to them, like in verse 18, we read that God was saying, heavens were to sing for joy. He said the earth was to exult. Mountains were to break forth into singing, because God has comforted his people and he will have compassion upon his afflicted people. But they were still in exile. God expected them to sing for joy, because in the previous chapters, even at the beginning of chapter 49 that we have read this morning, Isaiah begins with what is called a servant's song. And there are four passages in the book of Isaiah which have been singled out as songs. These songs celebrate the sacrificial life of a righteous servant of God who brings about redemption for others. So God talked about his servant. Judah or Israel had failed to be God's servant, so God would bring another servant who was faithful. So there are songs in Isaiah which celebrate this servant. So God was saying, because I have promised you a servant, heavens should sing for joy. The earth was to exult. Mountains were to break forth into singing. So that was God's command, saying, because of God's grace and comfort, all creation should praise him. All creation should break into praise and praise God for his compassion towards his afflicted people. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Zion didn't want to praise God. Zion or Jerusalem couldn't praise God. The people of God couldn't believe God's promise about the servant who would deliver them. They were unable to see beyond their present situation. God could be asking us even to sing for joy, while the circumstances are still the same. The situation is still the same. We should believe God's promise that he will deliver us. He hasn't forgotten us. He still remembers us. He still loves us. So we should break forth into singing. We should praise him. We should sing for joy, even if the situation hasn't changed. God likes such kind of faith, where we believe his promise and start to sing for joy. We should be able to see beyond our present situation and start to sing for joy, because God will never forget us. Jerusalem thought they had been forgotten, but God had not forgotten them. They were in that situation because they had forsaken God. It was Judah that had forsaken God. It was Judah that had left God. So they were in this situation and they thought God had moved away. Yet it was them who had moved away. So sometimes our feelings of despair, feelings of depression, or feelings of discouragement can lie to us, telling us that your God has left you. Such feelings will be lying. God will never forget us. So God had to ask a rhetoric question. He asked a question in verse 15 from the passage that we read. Can a woman forget a nursing young, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, sometimes mothers can forget, but I will not forget you. So God gave a picture and asked a rhetoric question to his people. A question about a mother and a newborn baby still drawing his or her sustenance from the mother's breast. He said, can such a mother who has just given birth to a baby, can that mother forget a baby? You are saying I have forgotten you. So get this picture of a mother and a newborn baby. Can a mother forget that baby? Judah would obviously answer saying, no, the mother cannot forget. But then God remembered that natural mothers or human mothers can sometimes forget. But that picture would give an illustration of God's love for us. A picture of a mother who is nursing a baby. Such a mother will be very sensitive to the cries of a baby. If the baby cries, the mother will be very sensitive to her cries. She would run to feed the baby because she is so attached to the baby and she loves the baby. Even if the child is not crying, the mother's maternal instincts will tell her when it is time for feeding. Her body and her soul will not let her forget the baby. So it is not natural for a mother to forget her baby. She cannot be able to forget. She will always have compassion on the son of her womb. So that's the example that God gave to Judah. When Judah said, "Our God has forgotten us," God gave them a picture of a mother and a baby. He said, "Even the maternal instincts will tell you when it is time to feed the baby." But then immediately God remembered that a mother may forget. A mother may forget. We have often heard in the news. The news about mothers abandoning their children, news about a mother who would have abandoned a child. And such news is always shocking because it's not natural for a mother to do that. But in a fallen and sinful world, a mother can do what we least expect her to do. She can walk away from the child. But God says, "Even if mothers of this world can do that, I will never forget you." Mothers, because they are in a fallen world, they can do what we least expect them to do. We read in the Bible in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 28 to 29, when Samaria was besieged by Syria, there was famine in the city, there was hunger in the city, and two women agreed to eat their children. We read about the story of two women who agreed to eat their children because of hunger. The mothers forgot their children because of hunger, because of famine. They boiled a baby and ate him. The mother forgot her son. It was only heard when the other woman then hid a baby. She could not have her baby killed the next day. So this woman who had given up her baby then went to the king. That's how the story got to be known as recorded in the Bible. So sometimes selfishness, neglect, drugs, alcohol, and many other factors can lead a mother to forget their children. But God said, "I will never forget you. Even if your family members can forget you, I will never forget you. Even if your spouse forgets you, I will never forget you." God is comparing his divine love with human love. And he says divine love is greater than human love. God will never forget us because his divine love is greater than a mother's love. So God has love-stained hands. He has love-stained hands. His hands are stained with love. His hands are stained with love. He says, "Behold, I have engraved you. I have written your name. I have your name written in my palms, in my hands. I have your name. Your name is engraved in my palm." Because of love, God has written your name. He has written my name in his palm. It was customary in the Eastern world then for the name of a slave master to be written in the palm of a slave to show that this slave is owned by this master. The name of the master will be written on the palm of the slave. So you could just look on the slave's palm and see the name of the owner. Now in this case, it's in reverse. The master engraved our names in his hands. He loves us such that he engraved our names in his palm. He has each and every one of us in his palms. Our names are written. So each time when he looks at his palms, he remembers us. He will never forget us. He loves us. He has our names engraved in the palms of his hands. God loves us as if we are the only one to be loved. Even if you were the only person in this world, God would still love you. He does not just love a crowd. He loves each one of us individually and personally. Even sometimes when we are in trouble or when we are in pain, we should remember that if we are in pain or in trouble, we then get his special attention. He will come and comfort us in a special way because he loves us. He has wounds in his hands. We said God has love-stained hands. There are wounds in his hands. Christ was allowed himself to have wounds on the cross. His palms sustained wounds. His side sustained a wound. And his resurrected body still has the wounds. They could have healed, but he did not let them heal. The wounds are still there. Even as he sits on the right hand of the Father, he still has wounds that are an exhibit of his love for us. So he has love-sustained wounds. He will never forget us. We don't know whatever situation we could be. We could be in despair. We could be in depression because of so many things in this fallen world. But whatever situation we could be, it should never get us to think that God has forgotten us, because he cannot forget us. He loves us. We don't deserve to be remembered, but he loved us despite our sinful history. Now he has taken us, we are his children. He has love-stained hands. If you think he has forgotten you, just remember his palms. If you think he has forgotten you, that just remember his side, the wounds, the stripes that he sustained on the cross. They were all because he loves us. God loves us in a special way. If you think he has forgotten you, he has forsaken you, then look at his wounds. In John chapter 20, when he had risen from the dead, he would occasionally appear before his disciples who were hiding in the upper room. He would occasionally appear before them. At one point, he appeared before them, as recorded in John chapter 20, verse 20. John recorded that as he spoke, he showed them the wounds. He showed them the wounds in his hands and the wound on his side. He showed them his wounds. And the disciples were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. That is what John recorded. They were filled with joy when they saw the wounds. The wounds that speak of his eternal love. His love for us endureth forever. His love for us endures forever. It is eternal love. He has love-stained hands. He loved us. He cannot forget us. So it doesn't matter whatever present situation looks like. We should always remember that God loves us. He will never forget us. He will be with us through whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. God loves us in a special way. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for the story of salvation that testifies of your enduring love. We want to thank you that you will never forget us. Even when we are in despair, in depression, discouragement, when sometimes we don't feel your presence, thank you for reminding us that you have engraved us in your palms. You love us Your love endureth forever. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for speaking unto us. Thank you for comforting us. Thank you for your grace. We thank you this morning, and we pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.